Malloy's Personal Power Podcast. Get ready to up your communication and commitment game. Hear from those who have succeeded using Dan's program. And now, here's Dan Malloy.
Boom! How you doing, everybody? Uncle Dan here.
With one of my good friends, long-term client, Mr. Darren McClay of McClay's Tire and Automotive. And this is a special one because I'll just introduce this, set it up a little bit, Darren. First of all, welcome. How are you, buddy? You good?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You know, we met probably 10, 12 years ago, sometime in there. We started working together. And I remember McClay's had five stores and you were doing well. And something I said to your dad, to Lester McClay, during a cold call, you know, he didn't call me. I called him and I opened the possibility for him. And so he went to Rick and he said, I don't know what's going on with this Malloy guy, but we got to talk with him. That's what he said. I remember he told me the story. It was funny. I don't know what's going on. He said, but there's something different. There's something different here. And I don't know, but I think we should talk with him. You know, so I'm thrilled that you were here. So I want you to tell the story a little bit. Take 5 minutes. Tell a historical story about your business, McClay's, how it started, you know, and all that. And I got a bunch of questions to ask you about it. But Tag, you're it, buddy.
Sounds good. Sure. Yeah, we are in Sonoma County, California, Northern California area. And our business started back in 1979. My grandpa, Bill McClay, worked for General Tire for many, many years as a, I don't know if as a regional director or district director, but basically he was in charge of Southern California area, Arizona, Utah, overseeing all the General Tire owned outlets and facilities. And General Tire was, you know, hey, we're just going to be a tire manufacturer, getting out of the retail business. And, you know, what was it, like a partnership buyout franchise deal. My grandpa just decided, hey, I want to run a single store. I want to be an owner of a location. And there was a spot in Arizona and there was one in Santa Rosa. And he traveled up from Southern California, saw the Santa Rosa one and said, good enough. I'll take it. And away we went. Never saw the Arizona one. So it's, you know, it's crazy to think that if he had gone to Arizona first, our whole family could be in Arizona right now instead of California.
Right.
So, yeah, he started that in 1979. My dad and uncle were about, I think, 3 to 6 months behind him, came in and, you know, basic family business, getting things going, starting with a few employees.
All three. So let me ask you a question. All three families were supported off of one store?
Yes. Yep.
Wow. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty right there. I didn't think about that. But you think about it, it's like one store, all three families surviving off of the one store.
Yeah. Well, my grandpa made my dad and uncle sleep in a service truck. So that's what we were.
You know? Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
He's a typical McClay. That would be.
Cut costs, save money. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But yeah, from there, I'm going to say maybe in the early 90s, late 80s, you know, my dad and uncle really started, you know, taking more of a management role in it. And it was mid 90s. I think it was 96 is when my grandpa retired. It was like 6 months before I came on as a cleanup kid when I was 13. So I just
started
missed
working as a cleanup kid at 13. So you worked from the ground up then, didn't you?
I mean, yeah. I think I missed working for my grandpa by about 6 months. That was it.
Okay.
So, you know, first I'm cleaning toilets and just learning, especially from my dad, very, very intense. I wouldn't say aggressive. Let's say intense.
Intense.
And passionate about.
Passionate and passion and intensity.
Yes. Yeah. This is how you sweep and this is how you do it and that kind of stuff. So it was good. And, you know, my brother, my cousins, over the years, summers, we worked at the shop. So, but yeah, really started to expand the business. My dad was very, very motivated to make things better. How do we improve? Yes. How can we get bigger? Let's keep going. I would just call him. I mean, I don't think anybody grinds away like my dad does. Like he will, doesn't matter how many hours we got to work. let's just put our nose down. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
And over the years, we've added on more locations and expanded. And yeah, here we are today.
What did you learn? What's the biggest takeaway you got from, because now it's different because you sold, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, you sold a business last year to AAA.
Yep.
You're still working in the business.
Correct. Yep.
But you sold it to AAA. Mm-hmm. Right. So prior to that, what's the big takeaway that you got, you know, as a human being from working with your dad as an entrepreneur? What do you think you've, if you can encapsulate that in anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, I learned from him, you know, like it's called company culture now, or it's your morale, that kind of stuff. That is, my dad has always been that way. He was always that way with us kids, you know, but even when we were kids, he's the only dad in the neighborhood playing basketball and street hockey with us. It's get involved in those around you. And I just always saw that all the time. And it just, you know, as I look back now and reflect on this stuff, I realize the times that I was seeing it in our business, it's whether it's him out there, you know, cutting a solid tire off to help out in commercial service himself, because we're backed up. Like, that's what it is. It's be involved in your business because your people see it. And, you know, it's not faking it. It's actually being in it and doing it. And I just think everybody that's worked for us over the years has had so much respect for him and my uncle in that respect that it, and it's the only way, you know, myself, my brother and cousin and I ever saw it was be involved, be there with your people. And you got to look out for your people. And when they know it, they're going to perform for you all the time, even when you're not around. They just
lead
know.
By example. I mean, it sounds like,
yeah,
lead by example.
Yeah.
I always think of George Washington. You know, I read this great book called Victory or Death. It was about the Battle of Trenton. And in the book, the author had example letters actually from soldiers that served with Washington. Mm-hmm. You know how they collect these old letters and everything? So
yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So one letter in particular I remember reading in the book was that General Washington has total disregard for his own safety. The soldier was writing back to his family,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what he did was, to your point, leading by example. Washington would be on his horse, and you see pictures of Washington always on his horse with his sword raised. He's pointing. You could picture, if you Google George Washington, you're going to see pictures of him like this on his horse.
Yeah.
White horse with his sword raised, because he used to ride into the oncoming bullets.
Mm-hmm.
He had no concern for his own safety. He would ride right into the hail of bullets that were coming right at him. He never got shot, and they couldn't figure that out. He should have been dead.
Hmm.
But they figured it was divine providence along the way. But but lead by example, absolutely.
Yeah,
you got to do it. What's good for the goose is good for the. So that's a big one. And I know you're a kind of guy like you roll up your sleeves, you jump in. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I came along and introduced you guys to the language of commitment. But tell me what the business was like before, and what it was like after.
Sure. Before. You know, like I said, a lot of passion for our industry and wanting to improve. And, you know, I think at the time we might only had 4 stores, Dan. It was, you know, how do we put processes in place for training? And, you know, I think we've talked about this. It's how do we get everybody on the same page?
Right.
You know, to do it the same way, to have
to communicate the same way. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, we said, hey, if you call in and there's no process in place and Ryan answers the phone and he's doing it his way, you're going to basically have Ryan's automotive. But if you called in and you got Kevin, he's doing it his way. Now your experience is Kevin's automotive. It's individual based on what.
Right. Great. So, great point. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we had scripts for selling tires over the phone that my dad would always put together. And I think we were kind of onto it. We knew there was something about, hey, we need to be better. How are we better? But then when you came along and just, hey, we're just talking about commitment-based communication, and we're a commitment-based company.
I like that. Yeah.
It kind of, you know, you could almost see the steam coming out of our ears as the gears were turning inside, you know? But it's like you kind of helped open that door a little bit to, okay, this is what we're doing. It's creating relatedness. It's about relationships. Yeah, that's what we're trying to create here.
Relationships and commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that you took some of what we had and you helped us, you know, tie up the loose ends and bring this whole thing together so we could really connect with our customers on a whole nother level like we never had before. We were trying. I would say we were better than most.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but
and you're engaged in the thought process of it all. I know that's why Lester said, when he told Rick after I had one impassioned, passionate conversation with him, and then he went to Rick and said, we got to talk with this guy. We got to have more conversation. He didn't know exactly what it was, but he knew. I'm serious. He said, yeah. He asked him about that. Yeah. He said, but there was something about this Malloy guy. And I think, not that I'm not bragging or anything, I'm just saying I understand how this whole language thing works. And if you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a salesperson, a manager, a leader inside a company, my claim is your job is to open possibilities for other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When they come to you and they talk with you or you're talking with them, communicating with them, you got to open possibilities for them to see new things. What happened to the business, the volume, the revenue and everything once you guys really got into the whole commitment thing?
Yeah, I think I can definitely remember, I don't have exact figures here in front of me, but I know for one, I know what we were always shooting for an average ticket. And as I loosely think in my head here, we probably were increasing our average ticket by 50%. Once we really nailed down just the simple stuff, choice closing, our efficiency, when I look now of all the phone calls coming in, 97% of them are coming through and either having a visit or an appointment attached to them, just knowing how to navigate, the 5 to 6 different calls you can have and the steps you take to land that appointment, land that visit, get them in the store. That kind of stuff took off. The amount of appointments we had instead of
the volume, the car count. Everything.
Yes. Yeah. And then, typically as your car count goes up, your average ticket comes down. That wasn't the case. We're climbing and climbing and climbing. And we continue to do so as we just continue to train and coach and communicate in this way, which ultimately, with more cars at a higher average ticket, our sales continued to climb as we went.
Yes. What happened as you trained your people? As you guys trained, because you took over. I mean, you guys were great. I mean, working with you. Well, I taught you what I taught you, and then you guys took over. What happened to your employees? What do you have any stories to share about that?
Yeah, what was fun about this is I can remember in the beginning you telling us, this isn't just how you're going to communicate at work. You're going to communicate with your spouses and your children and your friends this way. And I'm like, what's this guy talking about? But then I can remember the employees latched on and they started teaching back to me the personal aspect of it. And I'll never forget Scuba Steve. We called him Scuba Steve.
Steve, I remember.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. Him telling me, man, I figured it out what Dan's talking about. When my wife says, hey, can you empty the garbage? Normally I let out a sigh and I communicate that I'm aggravated and I'm tired. And he's like, but guess what? I'm going to empty the garbage. There's no question. That garbage is getting emptied by me in the rain. It doesn't matter. He said,
if I'm in a good mood or I'm in a crappy mood,
it's happening.
It's happening.
Right. It's happening. And he said, but I realized if I said to her, if I just changed the way I communicated my answer and what I was going to do is, yeah, honey, no problem. I got it. And I hop up and go do it. The details, the facts, the actions are identical. Whether I'm huffing and puffing and grumbling or I'm smiling and saying no problem, he's thinking, if I smile and say no problem and empty it, at least I get brownie points.
Right. You get something out of it. You get a kiss when you come back in, right?
Yeah. He says,
right. You got a good meal.
The other way I'm coming back in, I'm getting a dirty look and I'm an asshole. And right. I emptied the garbage. What a difference.
Right. It's the same result. Everything. Yep. Right.
Yep.
That's funny.
And I just thought about it. I'm like, man, he's right. And I just thought about this the other night. My daughter says to me, she goes, Daddy, will you read me a book? It's past her bedtime. And
how old
I'm tired.
How old is your daughter?
She's 6. Daddy, will you read me a book?
Oh, that's the best age, man.
And I just, you know, I didn't think of it in the moment, but I'm like, yeah, honey, let's go. What book are we going to read? But then I was thinking as we were going to have this, you know, talk, I'm like,
I just watching the movie. There's a million reasons why it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see her light up in excitement, like, yeah, we're going to read a book. We're going to go pick.
They love that. The kids love just sitting there right next to you as you flip through the book together.
But if I said to her, daddy's tired, but I'm going to read her the book. Trust me. I'm going to read her the book. To give her the response where she lights up and is excited and I get the big hug as she goes to bed.
Right.
Instead of almost an apologetic, sorry for bothering you, daddy, as I go to bed kind of thing. Like that's the difference. That's just the communication.
What do you think is the biggest challenge? How long you been in the auto repair and tire industry now?
Like officially, not like to the labor board. I'm going to say 20 years.
When you were 12?
Yeah.
When you were 10 years old?
Yeah, let's say officially 20 years.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing dealers these days in this current environment?
I would say... Well, I mean, no, everybody's going to say hiring, but once they're in there, it's having something in place to train them and have them understand how to create a long lasting relationship with your customers and communicate to them. And I say that and it sounds cliche or whatever, but that really is what it is. My joke is when someone comes on and we're training them, I said, look, you're on the phone with them 3 minutes. You're trying to convince them that they're taking their car down here and this is Disneyland. You know, when they're in here, we're trying to make auto repair as close to being like Disneyland as possible. And you know what? Everybody wants to deal with their friends. We're trying to become their best friends and let's create some relationships. So our job is fun too. Right. You know, we can talk about what goes into the tire and what makes the tire, blah, blah, blah. People just want to know, are you gonna get my car fixed? Yeah. How soon can you get it down here? Come on down. Oh, what a relief. Someone that wants to help me.
I'm going to take care of you no matter what.
I think
my only job is to be your car guy.
Yeah.
I say, take care of you forever.
Yeah. The challenge is expressing that and getting that through instead of, well, I'm backed up. I can't take you in today. And how do you change everybody's thought process to get into the mode of being accepting and helping people rather than what do I have going on in the shop and how do I find a reason to not make this happen? That's the difference.
Yeah. What's going on? What when you look at customers these days, what do you think their biggest concern is? I mean, what do you see with the retail customers and commercial customers in general? I don't even know where I'm going with that question.
No, that's okay. No, I can, you know, there's a few things. One, it's, oh no, my car's down. What's this going to cost? Like, you know, they're thinking cost, but
right,
I think,
okay. Yeah.
And I think we tend to always think it's all about cost, but sometimes that's not the case. You know, they can make, maybe they can make that part happen, but it's, can they make this happen for me and get my car back to me? And when can I have it back so I can get back to my life? I got to pick up my kids. I got to get to work. We need groceries. I need the car back. It's a big thing in our lives. We got to have transportation. And
it's interesting. I think that's really what it boils down to, you know, is the customers, what's their real issue? In other words, they call up and they say to you guys, listen, I got a check engine light on and my brakes are grinding. How much is a brake job? And we, a lot of people think that price is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they hyper-focus on the price piece of it, you know?
Yep.
What have you seen as the most important? You already mentioned it just a second ago.
Well, I think people, when they say how much your brakes, they're asking that question because they don't even understand the process. They don't even know what to ask you.
There you go.
And that's just what comes out. That's what they're asking. And then we just take that rather than understanding that they don't understand. We just $259.95. Like, no, the question is, hey, I've got an issue. Can you help me?
Well, yes, the question is really, I think, for me, correct me if you think I'm off base on this. I think that the question really is, listen, if I'm the customer, my life is on hold.
Yep.
I don't have a vehicle. I can't go to school. I can't take the kids to see grandma. I can't go on vacation. I can't go fishing. I can't do that. they can't do anything without a vehicle out by you guys. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yep.
You have to have a vehicle.
Yeah. And I know it myself. When my truck's down and we got to share a car and I got to get to work and she's got to get the kids. It's, I understand it for sure.
It's a challenge.
Yep.
It's a challenge. But it is. Yeah. So the price issue is never the real, never, ever, ever the real issue. What was it like? Did you notice a difference in your dad and in your uncle Rick after they started getting involved in what we're doing?
Yeah, I think the change that we had, and I probably furthered this over the last few years, was the focus. We were able to change the focus to, as far as training or meetings and interacting, let's focus on being better at communicating and creating an understanding and relationship with the customers and less on where are the numbers at? How many flushes did we sell last month? The focus on, hey, we need more flushes. Is that really what we need? Or do we need to change our behavior to make them understand the maintenance and the whole scope of what their car needs to keep them on the road? You're able to stop. Hey, we're short on tire units. We're short on this. Let's fix this. And it's like, we're all running around. Let's sell more tires. How? Well, we need to get better at making people understand why they need tires. And let's not overcomplicate it. And let's work on our behavior of communication rather than selling more of this or selling more of that.
Right. It's not about like your commitment, expressing your commitment to help people,
yep.
to help them take care, help them stay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, I think, is fabulous. How do you see? Now you sold your explain to folks what happened, because I'm thrilled that I've had a small part in helping you guys grow your business, expand your business, improve your profitability and all that. And then what happened?
When your business is well run and profitable and you have sales and you show growth and they can come through and do a visit and they're like, wow, look at the culture of this place. This thing runs like a well-oiled machine. That's a little bit more, I'm going to blank on the word here. It's a little bit more of a prize that somebody wants to buy.
Yes, we want this business.
Yeah, rather than, no, this place is distressed. All right, the guy looks like he's burned out. He just wants a way out of here. We can get this place for a dime. You know, like
right.
pennies on the dollar. That's the difference. And I think that's the thing. It's like, man, why would you guys sell? You were so well run and all that. You know, we have our reasons for that. But yeah, it was well run because of, you know, everything we put into it, help from you, a lot of other systems we had. But I'll tell you, once we made the decision to look to market our business, what could this do for us? When you're at the height of your game, it makes that process a lot easier. And there's a lot more suitors coming around wanting to make you offers for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
There were more than AAA?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We had a few, even initially, AAA was just a great fit for us where they come from and how they want to take care of the people. So.
Right. All right. I know that was,
yeah.
Talk about that for a minute, because I think that says a lot about who you guys are. Mm-hmm. You know, and why did you choose AAA?
The joke that I say is, you know, we still got to live in this county. Like our employees are still going to see us, you know, right. That's kind of the joke that we say. But, I mean, the reality is we have a lot of, long time employees. You know, we've got Larry is 29 years. Steve is 28. Pat's 25. Ozzy's 15, 20. Jason's 15. I mean, these aren't people that just worked for us 6 months ago. We care about these people. They are family to us.
Right.
And there's just different acquisitions that we know of when we see these companies come in and, you know, pay is getting cut a little bit here. These jobs are being taken away. This is happening. You just see these places get turned upside down. And, you know, we care about our people too much. And you could just sense that was, those are the things that were brought up early on. Like, hey, you know, how do we find spots for these people? Like everybody found a spot, like that. Nobody lost a job. I mean, the employee centricness of it. That's probably not even a word, but very employee centric and wanting to focus on their customers and members, but also the employees. And we just felt different, you know, like Les said, hey, I don't know what it is, But there's something about this guy, Dan, there's something different. And we just said, well, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about AAA, and we could feel it. And that was very important to us, because.
And it was, you're talking about taking care of your employees, yes, your people. Yep.
Yeah.
Loyalty. Well, that's mm-hmm. fabulous.
You know, people who know me over the years and they've heard me talk about it is communication and the relatedness with your people. That's so important. I'm not just saying this because it's you and I together,
right.
But
right. Of course
you have to. If you're going to keep doing this and you want to be successful at it, you have to set yourself apart from everybody else.
No, I love it. I love it. That, yep. Right. And if everybody's communicating like the industry is now, if everybody's out there just dumping prices and what's the year, make, and model, yep. and they just talk about all that stuff. And you guys have figured out that that's not, you got to build a relationship and you got to be skilled at making commitments.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, to set yourself apart. I mean, most people think, well, set ourselves apart. Let's shop prices of our competitors. And let's make sure we're a little bit lower. That might work for some people.
Right.
But, you know, when a consumer calls three different shops and they think they're shopping for price, who are they going to remember? The one that shot the 40,000 mile tire, the 50,000 mile, the 60,000 mile tire, or the person that asked them, hey, how are you driving this vehicle? Like, what's important to you? Like, how long are you keep and engages. And then at the end talks back about their driving style and their pattern. And, you know, we can take care of this for you. And I'm going to be your guy. I'm going to take care of this for you. And you ever need anything, you call me, because I'm going to make it happen whenever you're ready. They go, man, yeah.
And I'm going to get, and you button that up by saying, and I'm going to give you a great price.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to rip you off. I'm going to give you a great deal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's the whole thing. But later that night, oh, okay. Yeah. Who are we going to go with? Man, that Ryan, I just felt good about it. I don't know about you and everybody else, but I tend to try to make purchases where I feel like the people are going to do a good job.
Yes.
And they're looking out for me. And sometimes that was a little bit more, but I just think it's going to get done right. And that's where I go. And I think a lot of people do, but we tend to always think we got to be the cheapest. We got to be the cheapest. And that's
wrong thinking.
I don't think that's a recipe for success.
Just wrong thinking. I think that's a good place to leave this off. I appreciate you doing this podcast with me, my friend. I appreciate you guys. I'm thrilled I had a small part to help you guys move on in your life and to help to build the business. I'm thrilled about it. You guys are always one of my favorite customers. I'm thrilled that you're moving on and you and I have a bright future together. So,
oh, shucks. I appreciate it.
We'll be talking together a lot. I can see it.
So. That sounds good to me. I'm looking forward to it.
Listen, my friend, have a great weekend.
I will.
Appreciate you. All right. And we'll talk during the week.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Yeah.